This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Who profits from supply chain dysfunction? From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishor, in for David Brancaccio. Kinks in the global supply chain have been delaying orders, raising prices, and creating economic havoc through the pandemic. But if you happen to make money off of that supply chain, it's not so bad. Global shipping company Maersk reports second quarter earnings tomorrow. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins me now with a supply chain pulse check. Hi, Nancy.
Hey, Sabri.
So what are we learning about how this big shipping company, Maersk, has done in recent months?
Well, it says these ongoing congestion in global supply chains is leading to higher freight rates. And Maersk says its earnings before interest and tax will be up about $31 billion this year. And that's way up from an earlier forecast of around $24 billion.
Wow. And what does that mean for the general state of global supply chains and shipping? Their good news is bad news for everybody else?
Yeah, and Maersk is really seen as a bellwether for global trade because it ships transport the stuff we buy. Maersk did say there will be a gradual normalization in ocean container shipping this fall. Earlier, though, it said that would start this summer.
Well, so maybe some good news then ahead in the fall. Any other supply chain bright spots?
Yeah, the U.S. Department of Transportation says in May, total freight crossing the borders with Canada and Mexico was up 28% from the same time last year. But Sabri, that normalization in shipping that Maersk is expecting could be due to an economic slowdown in Asia, and the International Monetary Fund has cut its forecast for global growth.
All right. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
The economy shrank last quarter and the quarter before that, but some economists are predicting the economy will get back to growing in the current quarter. Larry Adam is Chief Investment Officer at Raymond James, which is a Marketplace underwriter, and joins us to talk about it. Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, we just saw the economy shrank in the second quarter, and people are debating left and right whether that means we're in a recession. Let's talk about what we know now, about what the economy is doing now. What do you think the economy is going to do in the next quarter or two?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I don't think we're in recession. I just think that there's just too much strength coming from the consumer. I think the job market is too healthy. I think that that's likely to continue as we go into the second half of this year. I think there's a couple of things to keep in mind. You know, first of all, travel during the summer continues to be pretty strong. So consumers continue to spend on travel-related, service-related type of items. Second, if you look at what's been going on with all these sales events, you're still seeing consumers out there spending. And I think that that's pretty important, and that'll continue to support the economy. And then I think you're going to see a bounce back in some things that have been struggling because of supply shortages. For example, autos. I think you're going to see a bounce back in auto sales for the remainder of this year. So I don't think we have a recession coming this year. I'd be more inclined to look for something possibly to happen next year.
Larry Adam is Chief Investment Officer at Raymond James. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
More Americans are putting down roots close to home. A new study from researchers at the U.S. Census Bureau and Harvard University says nearly 60% of young adults live within 10 miles of where they grew up. 80% live within 100 miles. The study measured people at the age of 26. A key reason people stay put? Money. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab looks at the economic advantages of moving versus staying home and how either one can hold people back.
Spencer Gillis has never strayed too far from home. Right now, he's living the furthest he ever has from where he grew up in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
I think I probably live maybe 25 miles from my parents' house.
Gillis is 28 and works in health insurance. He says he's flirted with the idea of moving to Denver or New York, but the cost of living there is too high, especially now that he and his wife have a baby. Plus, they're in good company.
The majority of my friends that are married and starting to have kids all live local still, while the ones that moved out of state still living the bachelor life.
Kids and the rising cost of childcare and housing is a big reason why more young adults are settling down in or near their hometowns. Nathan Hendren at Harvard co-authored the Census Bureau study on young adult migration.
You know, anybody that has kids could probably attest that having family members around can be helpful for those situations. And our results suggest that there's a lot of value to that proximity to people.
Proximity to an established network of friends and family also means connections to housing and jobs. That's especially valuable for lower-income Americans who are more likely to live where they grew up because moving costs money. And increasingly, people are taking this a step further by moving in with their parents. Nearly one in five adults now live in a multi-generational home. Natasha Pilkowskis is a professor of public policy at the University of Michigan.
People actually save a lot of money. I mean, it's not surprising when they move back home on the order of about somewhere between $3,000 or $4,000 a year.
That figure doesn't include savings on shared electricity, gas, and groceries. But there can be disadvantages to settling down near home, too. Here's Harvard's Nathan Hendren again.
I think if you are lucky enough to be in a place that has a kind of growing and expanding economy, staying at home isn't going to be as much of a financial burden than if you grew up in Appalachia.
A person's economic mobility often depends on their local economy, which brings a new perspective to the phrase location, location, location. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
Our producers are Jarrett Dang, Meredith Gerritsen, Ariana Rosas, Stephen Ryan, Alex Schroeder, and Erica Soderstrom. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.